Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This hour, we're checking in, as we do most weeks at this time, with the Port of New Orleans and finding out what's going on over there. Brandy Christian joins us. Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Good afternoon. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic. You know, I'm here and not at going to Jazz Fest all day like some radio hosts. But hey, you know, we've all got to do what we've got to do, right?
Exactly. I'm in the same boat.
The port reference. You're in a boat. I get it.
Exactly.
What is your dream concert? If you could see any concert, what do you think it would be?
Let's see. Gosh. You know, actually, I'm a huge Journey fan, but it would only be if I could actually see him with Steve Perry coming back.
Yeah. You know, it was
That'd be pretty cool.
When they were inducted into the Hall of Fame and he didn't play with them then, I kind of had to give up on my. Yeah, he was there.
Yep.
He helped accept and he thanked and he loved, but, you know, he lost that love and feeling years ago.
Exactly.
And he just didn't have the passion for it anymore, and his voice wasn't cooperating. So, yeah, I think that would be super. I would love to see that as well. But
that would be pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't think that one will ever happen. So
no.
All right. Well, what is the best concert you've ever seen?
Ooh, gosh. You know, I actually have to say I have a 18-year-old daughter, and, of course, her favorite performer in the world is Taylor Swift. I have to say that was actually a very amazing concert. We had the chance to go to the Nashville concert, her first Eras concert. That, I have to say, was a pretty amazing show. So it's going to be pretty spectacular when it comes here to New Orleans.
Oh, wow. I like that. And not only because it was wonderful, but because you got to see it with your daughter and see how much she enjoyed it. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I've never seen some teenage girls crying.
Yeah, there is something special. I took my daughter to see One Direction in Dallas years ago when they were their very first American tour, and they weren't coming here. And she so badly wanted to see them that we did. We drove all the way to Dallas just to see One Direction. And it was for her, as I think she was in junior high school at the time, it was such a thrill that, you know, it wasn't my music, but for her seeing it, that was a great experience. So there you go. Well, Brandy, as the president and CEO of the Port of New Orleans, I didn't have you come on to talk about this, but I wanted to ask you while we had you. So things are going pretty well at Port NOLA, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's been an exciting year. As you know, we're in a pretty diverse business, which is a good thing, just being the way that cargo and trade works. You know, commodities are pretty diverse, and obviously, you know, we're in an interesting time, you know, a lot of geopolitical issues happening, which absolutely can impact the economy and cargo. But we just announced, you know, our current results for the container business, which obviously, you know, we've kind of watched over the last few years with COVID impacts and then the congestion in the supply chain. I'm kind of watching the ups and downs of that business. And as we make big investments on that front, we were happy to report a 19% increase in our container volumes in the third quarter, looking like we're going to really round out a strong year this year. So we're up about 133,000 20-foot containers for this quarter. So it was really exciting to see that volume moving here in the river.
So that's really record growth for you, isn't it?
You know, it is. You know, prior to COVID, we were growing about, on average, at least 10% to almost 14% annually. So we're back kind of on that track, you know, just with the disruptions in the supply chain that, you know, has been really challenging. You know, we're proud as a state. We're a net exporter of goods, which is really rare in this country and something to be proud of. But as you look at the container trades, is what's happened the last couple of years is the imports have kind of what have dominated. So that was a little bit of a challenge. And really what's exciting about our numbers is we're actually up 19% in import containers and 14% on exports. So we're seeing that growth in imports, which is exciting because we really need that balance in our trade. Which is great, you know, and really where we're seeing that growth is imported coffee. You know, we've always been strong on the coffee trade, you know, that organic, the beans actually coming in from South America and Asia, coming in containers now, they have been for a couple of decades, have been one of the strongest commodities coming in here into New Orleans. That product has done extremely well and continues to grow, as well as some of the various different types of industrial chemicals that are used in manufacturing around here in the state, coming from Europe and Mexico. But we've also seen a lot of plywood and wood coming in from Asia and South America. And a lot of that is just a lot of the construction and projects that are happening around the state and up the Mississippi River going into the Midwest. Which is a really good sign. We don't see that slowing down. So it's really exciting to see the imports coming into the river system because of construction. And at the same time, on the export side, you know, we're seeing a 14% increase. And that's really because our petrochemical plants that produce the plastic resins, the PVCs, that market has picked up internationally. So that's good for our manufacturers here in the state.
So we've got coffee chemicals and wood coming in and PVC going out. Why Port Nola? How have you been able to capture this increase in imported coffee and chemicals? You explained the wood, but the coffee and chemicals here in New Orleans, instead of it going somewhere else, whether it's Galveston, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. or the East Coast?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination. You know, there's a certain degree, you know, certain commodities will be attracted to where the projects are, where the manufacturers are. But in the last couple of years, we really have made a significant amount of investments in terms of getting our new cranes online. That's really increased our capacity with the four new gantry cranes, as well as investments in expanding a Napoleon container facility with expansion of our yard. So when all of these other ports were going through some of the congestion, and you're seeing that on some of the East Coast ports, and you're seeing that in Houston, we now have increased our capacity. So we're much more efficient with the cranes. We're having faster throughput in the terminal. We have normalized our weekly services. We're up about 5% in terms of our weekly vessel calls, so regularly scheduled calls. Just makes us a very efficient port, attractive to shippers, so they have that reliability and they're not seeing congestion or a lack of efficiency at the terminals. And so we can really market to that. And at the same time, we've been able to market to shippers that are looking for alternative gateways. As they've seen congestion on the West Coast, and now in some of the East Coast ports, is they're really looking for alternatives. And I think, you know, as we've seen with the award for the Louisiana International Terminal, I think the United States and shippers are really looking for that alternative, and the Mississippi River obviously provides that, getting us into that Midwest corridor.
And all of this means more business for New Orleans, more jobs, hopefully, for New Orleans, and a better economy for New Orleans.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, as we've always talked about, you go back in history, is, you know, the maritime trade is really the foundation of how this region was created. But if you look at the big scale of what's happening in the national economy, really the global economy, it really is about supply chain and logistics, not only how goods are moving, but it's really, when you look at a state being competitive, when they compete to get a manufacturer, they're competing to get distribution centers, really retailers, they're looking to states and regions that have transportation infrastructure, because they need to be able to get their exports, imports in and out of an area. So they need facilities like the Port of New Orleans, like the other ports here in the region. They need these facilities, just like you need an international airport. If a state doesn't have these types of facilities, you're not going to land those manufacturers or those distribution centers. So it's really part of a bigger complex that we're working together to build here.
And what does the future look like? You talked about this is record growth you're seeing now, both imports and exports. What is the what does the future look like? You talk about the roads, the rails, the air service, and all of that. Is it where you need it to be? Is it improving? And do you expect this record growth to keep on growing?
I do. I mean, it's the, you know, we've always, in our long-term planning, we've always seen kind of that organic growth. You know, most ports tend to grow around a 3-5%. But then prior to COVID, you know, we were seeing jumps as high as 10%. But, you know, as I mentioned, the cargo trades are very sensitive to geopolitical, economic factors, tariffs, the geopolitical environment. And that is really why we are so diverse. We're in the container business, the break bulk business. We can provide those options and those solutions. But as we make those investments in the infrastructure, we're seeing more and more of the businesses attracted to the area. And, you know, the reality of it is, when you attract manufacturers, you attract distribution centers, we kind of call it in the business, you make that cargo sticky. You know, when you have a manufacturer, you have a distribution center, a major importer in the market, they're going to use the facilities that are nearby. They're kind of captive to the market, just like a large population is kind of your captive customer. So that's, you know, equally part of the strategy, working with our partners like Genoe Inc. and JETCO and LED to bring more of those companies to Louisiana, because not only does it help make our facilities competitive, it creates more of those, that economic development spinoff. And with the infrastructure investments that we've made, that the other ports in Louisiana have made, we're seeing more and more of those companies attracted to Louisiana. I mean, you know, I think you've seen some of the reports. I mean, we have some of the largest construction projects and economic development construction projects happening here in the state of Louisiana. So that's a really good sign. That, you know, that basically brings cargo across the docks of the ports across Louisiana.
We're talking with Brandy Christian, the president and CEO of Port NOLA, about record growth for imports and exports here in New Orleans. When we come back, I want to talk more about the $7.1 million in federal funds you have to sustain the growth that we're seeing, the transportation and infrastructure funding, and the Louisiana International Terminal. We'll talk more about that and what that holds for the future of Southeast Louisiana. I also want to talk about cruises a little bit. Big fan of cruising. Haven't done it since COVID. I need to. We'll talk see what the cruise landscape looks like at Port NOLA. Folks are texting us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and text line at 504-260-1870. On this day that the dream comes true for Jazz Fest producer Quint Davis and the Rolling Stones finally play the Jazz Fest. He's been at it some 50 years and he finally landed the Stones. Who would you most like to see perform? What's your dream concert? One person says Bon Jovi. Saw them at Jazz Fest. That was a hell of a show. Another person says Led Zeppelin. That's got to be in my top five dreams. A Led Zeppelin reunion. Could you imagine that happening at Jazz Fest. Somebody else says Jelly Roll is my dream concert. Well, good for you, because you can go buy tickets right now to a Jelly Roll concert right here in New Orleans. So that's good. We'll hear from Quint Davis coming up. We'll find out more of your dream concerts and your favorite concerts ever. And we'll continue our conversation on Portnola right after this. On the Newell Norman Show, I'm Dave Cohen on WWL.
When the Rolling Stones come to Jazz Fest, oh, I've been trying to say that forever. Third time's the charm.
Jazz Fest producer Quint Davis, you could just hear it in his voice how excited he is about this. He's been trying to say that forever when the Rolling Stones come to Jazz Fest. He thought he had them 5 years ago, but then Mick Jagger needed heart surgery. Then he thought he had it again, and then we had COVID and they had to cancel the fest. But tonight, 5 p.m. at the fairgrounds, the Rolling Stones are set to perform, and it looks like we're avoiding major catastrophe that would prevent it at this point. There is a chance of rain. We'll get you updated in the 12 o'clock hour on exactly how high those rain chances are between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. More of your texts coming up also. This is the dream for Quint Davis. What's your dream concert? Text me, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. While we continue our conversation with the president and CEO of Portnola, Brandy Christian. And Brandy, you got some money from the feds to try and keep this run going, huh? To try and make things even better, make the port more efficient and attract more imports and exports.
Absolutely. We were really excited to find out last week that we received another additional grant from the federal government, actually the Federal Highway Administration. They're reducing truck emissions at port facilities grant program. That's through the Infrastructure Act, $7.1 million in federal funding to assist us with really two of our biggest top priorities, and that's the utilization of green technologies and infrastructure at our container facilities, as well as the development of workforce development initiatives to help educate, provide training, and recruit local labor here into our maritime trades. We obviously the development of Louisiana International Terminal, the commitment to sustainability, and the implementation of green technologies is the forefront of our design of the facility. But this grant is actually going to help us start implementing those technologies at the current container facility, as well as there's also an additional funding to work with our partners, Nunez College and Urban League, to begin workforce development and training for skills to recruit and learn how to support these green technologies. So technicians and the technical training that's needed for all these new green technologies that are coming on, such as electrification. But the grant will actually assist us in bringing on new electric terminal tractors and vehicles to the current Napoleon Container Terminal.
That's exciting, and it moves you, it keeps you moving technologically forward, and it gives you money to spend, and it overall, hopefully, leads to more efficiency and better operations. Has there been any, I know that the driverless trucks are a big topic right now across the country, these self-driving 18-wheelers. Louisiana is one of the states that has made provisions in the law to allow for that. Is there any discussion about that at the port?
No, we haven't really seen that that technology occur on terminal, particularly with large vehicles. That's not really something that we've seen within terminal. Really, where we're focused right now is more on the electrification to bring down the emissions of facilities. Really, in terms of what we're seeing in our designs is that electrification. And what people may not realize is even at Napoleon Container Terminal, when we, probably over a decade ago, we moved to all electric cranes. So the very large gantry cranes that you see in the skyline at Napoleon, those are all electric. So no diesel fuel emissions from those cranes. Obviously, the new terminal will be all electric cranes and developed to be able to bring in, you know, electric forklifts, electric equipment on terminal, as well as the economy and the market moves to more electric vehicles, electric trucks. Part of this grant as well, we're very grateful to Entergy, who will be providing in-kind services and support for installation of charging stations and infrastructure at Napoleon to support the electric equipment. And obviously, we're working with Entergy Louisiana for the same at the new terminal.
Do you have backup power? I mean, obviously, Entergy would be the main source of power for all of these cranes and charging stations and everything else. What happens if the power goes out?
Yeah, so at Napoleon, it's all a backup generator. And when we are designing LIT, we're looking at those alternatives to beyond generator. And at LIT, we'll actually, it's being designed to have its own substation as well as all on-site drainage so that there's no impact to the surrounding community. So all that redundancy we're designing and working with Louisiana Entergy now to be more self-sustaining.
Louisiana International Terminal, that's the LIT. That's a, I guess we should bridge into that now. Where is that at in development? What's the future hold for it, and how excited should we be about this Louisiana International Terminal?
Certainly. We're currently in the permitting process. We about two-thirds into the permitting process. If the process typically takes about a three-year permitting process, and that would put us into, if successful in a permit, that would put us into maybe a issuance of a permit in 2025 and begin construction. Typically, the construction period would be about 3 years to get a first berth open around 2028, the end of 2028. The way we envision this is a phased construction is a kind of say, you know, joke is we're still under construction at Napoleon. You know, we've always kind of made investments and grown the facility based on the market and the need and phased that development. And that's kind of how we envision LIT as well. So we're in that process now. And one plug I want to put in is that in throughout the month of May, it is Maritime Month, we'll be doing a series of educational programming around the cruise industry and public safety, but also around Louisiana International Terminal. We will be hosting three open houses throughout St. Bernard Parish in the month of May. And those dates and locations can be found at louisianainternationalterminal.com. They're open to the public, and we'll have staff and consultants there to answer questions, get feedback on everything from workforce development to traffic concerns to market projections, any question you could possibly have about Louisiana International Terminal. But really, these open houses are for the public.
In a nutshell, what will the Louisiana National Terminal be and what will it do?
Essentially, it is a container terminal, just like the Napoleon container terminal here in Uptown New Orleans. It's just a more modern version of a container facility downriver that will allow larger vessels. As you know, we are kind of capped at a 10,000, 20-foot container TEU vessel because of the bridges here in New Orleans. Which really limits the market that the river in Louisiana can handle. So it'll allow for growth in the market. And obviously, because it's a newer facility, we'll be able to implement greener, newer technologies there at the facility. So essentially, it allows us to grow in the market, to be a little bit more competitive here in Louisiana.
And now, while it's down the road, it is already making waves, if you will, and a lot of excitement surrounding the LIT, the Louisiana International Terminal. You mentioned the cruise business. We have this fantastic window that looks out of our studios here at WWL Radio, right at the Crescent City Connection from our studios here at Poydras and Magazine. So it's not uncommon when I'm normally on the air At 5 a.m., I see a ship pulling into port, one of the cruise ships.
Yep.
Every time I do, I think, man, I need to book another cruise. It's been too long. I haven't been on a cruise since the pandemic, so it's definitely, I'm overdue. How is the cruise business doing, and what does the future look like?
You know, it's doing great. This year, we project this next fiscal year that we'll probably have our highest year of passenger moves in our history. Potentially 1.3 million. We're seeing all of our cruise lines return with Royal Caribbean coming back for some calls next year. And as you know, Carnival is bringing in a new rotation with the Glory, and we'll actually be celebrating next week. We'll be doing some events with Carnival. They've had over 30 years here in New Orleans with their 2-year-round vessels. But it, you know, coming, you know, going into COVID, we weren't quite sure what would happen with the industry. But I have to tell you, talk about a resilient industry. It's come back roaring and really shows no signs of slowing down. What is exciting about the business is, you know, we've traditionally been at least a 90% home port, which is great because the cruise starts here, ends here. And that allows for the pre or post hotel room stays, and that the room nights generate over 300,000 room nights for the hotels. They get all of their supplies here. They refurbish it, their alcohol, their food for the ship. I mean, a number of services, fuel. So huge economic impact. But we're starting to see more ports of call, which is great because that diversifies the economic impact. You don't have as much impact on local car traffic because, yeah, the passengers are just coming in for the day, but they visit more of the restaurants and more of the shops. So it's a nice diversification to the economy. So we're really happy to see that. We're really aggressively working with New Orleans and company to try to get some more of those ports of call.
So those would be ships that are home ported somewhere else, but they come here for a day and let people experience this, much like the way if we cruise out of New Orleans, we get to do at so many ports of call throughout the Caribbean, in Mexico, and all those other places where the ships leave from here and go to. Well, that is exciting, and glad to see that growth continues, because one of these days, I've actually had a dream of when the day comes, retiring onto a cruise ship or a cruise ship line, where I just, you know, live on cruise ships the rest of my life. So,
you know, it actually is a real thing. People do it. You know, they find some of these smaller cruise ships, like the Crystal, and you know, some of these smaller ones. Could be cheaper than paying for assisted living.
Yeah, and I've actually seen where some of the major cruise lines have what they call a life pass, where you can, you know, you have to book it in advance, but you essentially move on to one ship, and then when you're at a port of call, you want to jump to another ship, you can, and you can just, you know, literally see the world going from ship to ship. I don't know if my kids would love it if we did that, but, you know. Maybe.
Better just buy a sailboat and go around the world.
Yeah. Well, oh, if only. Well, Brandy, thank you so much for getting us up to speed and up to date on what's going on at Port Nola. We appreciate it. And also thank you for sharing with us your favorite concert experience and your dream concert.
Absolutely.
Here on WWL. Have a great day. That's Brandy Christian, President and CEO of Port Nola. I'm Dave Cohen, filling in for Newell Normand. And yeah, what an exciting day. The Rolling Stones are finally coming to Jazz Fest, making a dream come true for Quentin Davis, the producer of Jazz Fest. He said it was hard, though, to make this happen. Even though he's friends with the Stones and everybody surrounding them, this is not what the Stones normally do.
So we have to get the artists to agree to play in the daytime without their production. I mean, the Rolling Stones have the biggest production of any band in the world. They only play stadiums. That's all they play, except for May the 2nd, 2024. They'll be playing at a festival.
Yeah, the Stones don't do this. So he really was so excited when every member of the band voted yes. Apparently that's how it works. And we'll learn more from Quint Davis later about how this all came together as we continue talking about Stones Day at the Jazz Fest here on the Newell Normand Show. I'm Dave Cohen. All right, after this, I want to hear from you. Call me and text me at 504-260-1870 and tell me, this was Quint Davis's dream to get the Rolling Stones. What is your dream concert? Tell me now, 504-260-1870. I'll read some of your texts and take some of your calls. Miss Ann wants to tell us her dream concert. She's up next. Get in line behind her at 504-260-1870, and we'll talk to you about your dream concerts as well. Coming up next here on The Newell Norman Show, I'm Dave Cohen on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.